Play Subject Thread Podcast.
Here's Subject Thread Podcast. Here's where you left off in the latest episode, live.
Yo, what's the heavy hitter DJ Wala, and you're now plugged into the Subject Thread Podcast with your host, Nyla Lavelle.
Like, there are certain people that have these ability to be independent contractors, self-employed, avenues within the real estate umbrella, because there's so many different ways to make money in real estate. I think a lot of people miss that.
Could you tell me what it doesn't help with? Medical marijuana, period.
Lots of people have ideas, but it's, can you execute them? Are you dedicated enough to see them through?
I like that question, because with Kanye, I was just talking about this yesterday, and I feel like with Kanye, he's like, he does things that we all do behind closed doors.
Man, I've never been asked that.
It's a Subject Thread Podcast. We different here.
You are now tuned in to Subject Thread Podcast, giving you real dose of storyboard conversations, art, money, culture, and more.
Hey guys, what is up? What is up? This is your girl in the building, Nyla Lavelle, for another episode of Subject Thread Podcast. I am super excited to speak to these guys this afternoon here in Atlanta. We are going to be talking to the founders of Luxury Hat called Wear Brims. I have the cultivators in the building, Taj Crutch and Archie Clay III. Am I saying that right, Archie? I wanted to make sure I got that right.
I'm only Todd. His name is a little more difficult than mine. So,
yeah, it is. Everybody butcher minds a little bit, but you got it absolutely correct. So, thank y'all for that.
You know, no problem. But you know how I got your name correct, Taj? Because are you familiar with SWV? One of the middle group girls' name is Taj.
Taj, correct. Yes. Wow, that brings back memories, because my parents told me that when I was younger, but I didn't even think about that till now.
Really? Okay. Yes. Okay. Yeah. So I was like, yeah, SWV is Taj. And the reason why I was thinking about that, because I was speaking to someone this week and I was like, who can go against Escape and Versus?
Ooh.
And Yeah.
That's a good one right there. That's a good one. That's a good one.
Will I be wrong if I say TLC or?
That's the first person that came to mind. I mean, I feel like TLC has
some comparison.
I mean, TLC is strong. TLC
I'm talking for SWV, though, if I'm throwing TLC out there with them.
You know, they were always pegged with each other. I think they were thinking of it from a notion of Atlanta would be TLC naturally. And then Escape is Atlanta. Yeah, so they were saying it from that perspective. I want to see a girl group go against each other, though.
Yeah, that would be nice. What was your thoughts on the last verses?
You know what? I was looking at Swiss Beatz today, and I think that what he said was really well said, that we have to respect each other in spaces of color. Mm-hmm. And he was saying that, you know, Mrs. Cole, when she came on, it was a little bit disrespectful and something else for them to talk about in regards to us. In terms of the talent, I think they are exceptional women of color. They have done a lot of things for our industry. I think that it was just, you know, with the delays and stuff, you know, since December, I just think it kind of threw off the energy. So that's how I'm going to put that.
Yeah, I agree. I absolutely agree. You know, a lot of people, we were just waiting.
Okay. So you guys are really within the culture. It seems like you're really hands-on and you're really watching what's going on.
Of course.
Now, yes. When 2016 happened, is that when a little light bulb came in your head and was like, you know what, we want to start a hat company? Or did it start before that? Take me through that.
I mean, I think
for the hat company, I'm going to let you go, Archie, but I would say for the hat company, I think that light bulb was shining brighter on Archie's head than mine, but I let him go and speak more to that.
Yeah, I think it was always a foundation of doing something, even before 2016, even in college, even when me and Taj met back in college in spring 11, when we first crossed Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated, that foundation was set then. We didn't know what we were going to do. We didn't know that something was going to come in the future, but that foundation was set in the beginning as we became friends and became brothers. But when it came in 2016, the light bulb was created around that time period in the mindset of creating legacy. Right. And that legacy was created through the thought process of what I wanted for my family. And for me, it was just like, what can I do to create that legacy? Right. My grandmother passed away about like 10 years ago, 2016. She passed away like 10 years ago at that time. And when she passed away, I knew I had to create something for my family to keep my legacy going for my name, Clay. So when 2016 came about, I was just like, man, I have to figure out something outside of my career to continue to push my name to another lane. And that's when I reached out to Taj, like, bro, I have an idea. I'm not sure if it's going to work, but I think you would be great to come along with a journey for me. And Todd's kind of going more in depth on that one.
Yeah. To piggyback what Archie was saying, like he definitely reached out to me with the idea. Just the beginning of it was like, hey, man, I got this perfect idea. Like, we both, through our personal styles, wear fedoras on our own. Back then, it was mainly called either a fedora or sometimes crown. But he was like, we both wear it on our style. We checked each other on our IG. We always kept up with each other and we visit each other's campus. So he was like, man, we might as well just create our own company. You know, and I tell everybody all the time, you know, you have those friends that, you know, just reach out to you with all these crazy ideas and they might, they might just tell you like, oh, I got this idea. And then 2 days or a week later, you never hear nothing about it after that. So I thought it was one of those days. So he just calling me just like, hey, man, let's make our own hat company. Because in your head, you can't, back then, as a African-American male, I never thought that two male men, black men, can create their own luxury hat company. I never seen it before. You know, it's no blueprint. So in my head, I'm like, okay, I mean, yeah, but I wasn't really deep thinking into it. So we got off the phone that night. I thought about it for a second, then I kept doing what I was doing. But then the next day, Archie called me and he was just like, bro, like, I know exactly where we can get our felts from, our materials, our manufacturer, everything. We can get it lined up. All we got to do is come up with the name. So in my head, I'm like, wow, this might be a sign. You know what I'm saying? Because he's really diligent about getting this started. And he's reaching out to me. You know, like, out of all the people, Archie know a lot of people. A lot of successful people and a lot of people that's doing good things and big things now to this day. So I'm like, he reaching out to me. Like, I'm like, okay, well, what's going on? So I'm like, okay, so obviously it's the reason he's reaching out to me. And the reason why he feel like we both can come together with this and build this company and make it successful. So he was like, bro, we just got to come up with a name. So I was just like, man, we was coming out with crazy names. I'm not going to even lie to you. We was coming out with like your head, his hat, or crown, your hats or stuff. We just coming out with like wild, crazy stuff. And then I was just like, man, my grandfather always say, you know what I'm saying? Take your brim off in the house and stuff like that. Well, I like your brim and stuff like that. So he was like, bro, that's it. I was like, you sure? I was like, that kind of sounds simple. He's like, that's the thing. It's simple. It's sweet. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? And it gets to the point and it lets you know, like, boom, brims. So we just adopted the Wear Brims into the whole name and became Wear Brims. And then in the back of my head, I'm like, wow, this is now like iconic. Now. Yeah, it's iconic. Now looking back at it and saying like, just thinking about it, like, because I don't know. Me personally, I always know in my mind, I'm like, man, I wasn't put on this world to just go to work, get a 9-to-5, retire, and that's it. You know, start a family, and that's it. Like, I feel like I wasn't put on this world to kind of just do that, be the norm. You know what I'm saying? So I was just like, maybe this is where the Lord, you know what I'm saying, gave us this idea to create, you know what I'm saying, to create. Mm-hmm, and when I sit back and think about it, I'm like, man, it's just powerful that we here where we are today and then starting from where we started. You know, it's just crazy with that idea that just came to me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I always tell people KISS is keep it simple. So,
oh, yeah,
it just made sense, you know, and it worked because obviously you had the name and he had the vision and it kind of worked together. One hand washed the other.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Where he lack, I'm strong. Well, I'm lack, he's strong. So it's just a perfect blend.
Good, good, good. Now, how did you guys come up with the concept of the Olympics? Because I'm sure you guys were like elementary school in 96.
Yeah, 6 years old.
Yeah, you wasn't even, you was a twinkle.
Yeah. And then I'm not from Atlanta. So, and Archie is, so he kind of got more of the roots and stuff from being from Atlanta. Well, I'm being raised in Atlanta. Yeah. So,
Taj and me.
Taj.
Oh, I'm from Queens, New York, by the way, of Enterprise, Alabama. In a way, the reason why I say that, because I'm a military family.
Okay.
Stepped out in the military, so we bounce around. But Queens is always where I know and always go back to, and I always run back to any holidays when I was younger. And then when I got older, I kind of spent my high school teen days in Enterprise, Alabama, and then went to college. So that's why.
Okay. Okay, so you got a little bit of taste of the East Coast and then the South, so you've seen a little bit of everything.
Yeah, I got a best of both worlds. So a lot of people be like, man, I can't really tell where you're from the way you talk because you don't sound country. You don't sound like you're from up top. I've seen it all. So I just tell them like, man, I just got a unique voice because I got a mixture of both.
Gotcha. And Archie, your roots are in Atlanta.
Yes, I was born in Chattanooga, but I pretty much left Chattanooga when I was like 2, and I came to Atlanta. So I claim Atlanta.
You can claim the A. You can claim the A.
I'm from the east side of Atlanta, so Decatur, Stone Mountain. I grew up in that area.
Okay, cool. So your parents, were they peeping you game on the Olympics and giving you that history?
I mean, I feel like the history of Atlanta and Olympics has always been there, right? When you think about everything that's come through Atlanta, you think about the history of Atlanta, you think about the culture of Atlanta. I mean, I feel like the 96 Olympic is a part of that, right? It's so much to Atlanta that people don't even realize, even from a Black African-American standpoint, of what Atlanta has done and how far Atlanta has come from. And that's kind of what aligned us to create the Olympic collection, because at the end of the day, it's like the foundation of where Brim was founded here in Atlanta. That's what it is, right? That's the foundation. And from us as creatives, we really wanted to test the boundary for ourselves as creatives. Everybody kind of knew us as just fedora designers. That's what we do best. But for me and Taj, it's like sometimes we want to test the boundaries of our own talent. Like, what can we do outside that's a little bit more different, a little bit more unique, but also still aligns with what we do best is design. And that's where that Olympic collection came from. We wanted to do something different. And when Taj created that upside down fedora with the birds coming out the hat, I was just like, oh, this is it. We got to do it, right? It's just, honestly, I didn't even know we were going to release it. But when he created that design, I was just like, man, this is unique and different. But it's our version of the 96 Olympics and what we and how we see it. And how I see the 96 Olympics is it was a formation of confidence that Atlanta got during that time period. We got our own Olympics. That's a big thing. People don't even realize to have Olympics in the city. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I think that confidence and power and relationships came from that day. And I feel the same way when we think about our brand, how we've come from 2016 to now where we are now.
That's a great way to put it. I put it in terms of Atlanta. Atlanta was already getting set off in the early 90s with like the LaFace records and that whole thing built the city. And something about 96 really, really built the city. I mean, I was young too, but just doing historical work and learning, it set Atlanta off. It brought a lot of people to Atlanta right after that point.
And to this day, you can't really drive around Atlanta and not see anything based off the 96 Olympics. You see the rings around. They still got the flags up. The Centennial Park. Mm-hmm. You know, everything still reflects off of that 96.
And the crazy thing about it, people don't even realize, you got Magic, you got Michael Johnson that was there in the 96 Olympics. You got Floyd Mayweather fought in the 96 Olympics. People don't even realize that. You know what I'm saying? So the foundation of people's careers started in Atlanta in a sense. And the same thing with us.
Facts. And speaking of Atlanta, it's like I was just saying, it's grown so much. Like, it's like a mecca for everything. Do you think it's more of a transit city now?
Yeah, I feel like it's one of those destination spots that everybody come to. Like, I had a conversation with a friend the other day. It's like, you can move to Atlanta. You probably see all your friends and family within that year because everybody comes to Atlanta for either vacation, birthday, see a friend, anything. You know what I'm saying? It's not like another state where you're not going to really, no one's going to visit. Somebody's going to pass through Atlanta throughout the year. So you're going to see almost everybody that you might know. You know what I'm saying? Because that's one of those destination spots that everybody can come and really enjoy themselves. You know what I'm saying? You can get a little bang for your buck here.
Atlanta's powerful, man. I think me growing up in Atlanta, and you look at how far Atlanta has grown, even from an economic standpoint, right? You look at the west side, you look at the east side, you look at the north, the south. Like, Atlanta's about to be powerful. Give Atlanta another 2-3 more years. And even with Atlanta being blue and us having a Black mayor, it's just like it's only going up from there. And I'm just grateful to be in this era of seeing it grow, because back in the day, in like, when I'm in high school, like, we didn't go to the west side. Like, we didn't. Like, we didn't go to the west side. We didn't go to the West End Mall. Like, I'm just being honest. Like, we didn't.
Oh, no, I know.
We didn't go to the west side. And I tell my girlfriend all the time, it changed so much. And now I live in the west side. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, Atlanta has changed so much. People don't even realize it. Like, it's just night and day, in my opinion, night and day.
You know what? I was telling people that Grand Park and Little Five Points didn't look the same. Okay?
Oh, no. Of course not. You see, look at Grand Park now. Look at Grand Park now. Look at the first half of Decatur. Like, come on. Like, it's just night and day. Like, and people talk about like Buckhead. It's just like now there's so many nice places outside of Buckhead that you can live in without being
that is correct.
Without being in the city of Atlanta.
Yeah, I didn't get to witness all that. I'm coming in wild.
You coming in wild?
Well, no, because I didn't even. Cause I just moved here about 3 years ago, so it's like everything was in transition then. So
and
everything
grew
popular. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Well, you missed a good time. You missed before it gentrified fully.
Yeah. But I was coming from Alabama, so you know it was a little bit, you know, a little upstep.
And speaking of Atlanta, you had a couple of people actually rocking your stuff from Atlanta. Carrie Hilson.
Yeah.
Exceptional writer. How did that come about?
Relationships, honestly.
Yeah, that's all it's about. Yeah.
We built, because before we even had a PR, like that's how we built our brand off relationships. Honestly, me and Taj were out in the streets just building relationships and just growing from there. And that's kind of how we were able to get these individuals in our product, you know, because at the end of the day, I always tell Taj, the difference I want our brand to be is I want people that maybe celebrities, whatever it may be, when they wear our product, they actually want to wear our product and actually want to and actually love our product. And it's not just a product placement. Like that's something I pride ourselves on. It's just like, if we're going to give someone or someone wants to buy, we always, even if they want to purchase it or a custom, we always say, hey, you know, have you wore a hat before? Like, have you touched it? How you feel it? Because we want you to feel it. We want you to understand, like, this is something that's high quality. That's something that we want to, that's going to grow with you. You know, that's going to grow over time. And it's going to mold with you as a person.
That's a great way to put it, actually.
Yeah, individuals got to know that it's like, you're not going to get your product overnight on certain people. You know, you got to really, you know, do the groundwork. Sometimes you get blessed and be able to be like, oh, somebody really messed with your product or your brand. So they might reach out to you. But sometimes, you know, you got to open your mouth. You got to speak, you know, you don't never know who you're talking to at that time. And then they might remember how passionate you was about your brand and be like, and reach back out to you. I'm like, hey, man, I was just thinking about what you was talking to me about and all stuff like that. I know such and such that really has a shoot coming up that really wanted to partner with you, with your brand. You know what I'm saying? You never know how that conversation can go. You just got to go open your mouth and be, like he said, building those relationships and network out here.
Absolutely. It's something that I speak to all the time. I always tell people, you know, I treat people the same, whether it's a blue check mark on their name or it's
correct,
no check mark. If it's one follower or 20,000 followers, you got to kind of be the same across the board. So I'm glad you guys got that early on.
Yes, yes.
So you understand the importance of cultivating relationships, of networking and different things like that. As an entrepreneur, you guys started in, what, 2016 and then you launched in 2017. And am I good on the timeline?
Yes, perfect on the timeline.
Perfect.
Okay, cool. So I know starting stuff is sometimes it's a hurdle. Did you guys ever feel like, you know what, this is too hard, I want to give up?
I'm saying all the time, but I never not giving up, but the hurdle part, you know,
the hurdle part,
not the giving up part. No, never that part. Let me be clear on that. But the hurdle part, of course, you know what I'm saying? And Archie can kind of go into details a little bit, but it's like a lot of things came full circle because in the beginning, it wasn't getting that much love, you know, not in a sense of our friends and family. They was always showing us love and the support, but like, the manufacturer being on the same page as us. We speaking to different department luxury stores like, hey, maybe we can, you know, get our hats in here. They was kind of like, okay. You know what I'm saying? Not really showing us the much love in the beginning, which I definitely understand. We got to show and prove. But at the same time, like we in the beginning, we came out full-fledged running. We make sure our product was A1 quality. We make sure we answered the right questions. But I don't feel like people would really understand what we were trying to go with in the beginning. But like I said, it comes full circle. And I let Archie go a little bit more in depth and why we say both like the hurdle part, you know?
Yeah, I think, man, to Taj's point, like the hurdles, like us not, we never gave up. Like even through the trials and tribulations, like we always pushed forward and we always kind of came back to the common ground. But from a hurdle standpoint, like I ain't gonna lie, we got played to the left multiple times in the beginning, multiple times. I remember having multiple, even going to an event where we were supposed to be featured in the show and they never showed our product, right? And me sitting there for 2 hours and just waiting. And no one saying nothing to me. To me, that's like, that could have been a day where I'm like, man, forget this. I'm done. But no, I said, yo, like, keep pushing forward. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, I'm a human. It was emotionally draining. It was frustrating for us as a team to be able to be doing things and really, because one thing about me and Taj, we always kept it 100 with everyone that we connected with, always kept it 100. So when people do us wrong or show a different type of love, it's frustrating because we never show anybody that type of love. Like, we always keep it one. We always keep it business. We always keep it professional. And we always keep it family. When I say family, our brand is built on family. And we want to always be transparent and honest with our customers, our team, and people around us. That's how we treat people within the business. And when people do the opposite, it's frustrating at times. But back to Taj's point, like, we always push forward. And I think it goes full circle because people know how we do business. And now that we're in a different position, now people are coming back to us and want to have conversation. And honestly, now we're able to control that narrative now. Mm-hmm. We don't have to work with you. You know what I'm saying? Like, we don't hold grudges. It's not about holding grudges, but it's also about, I tell Todd all the time, man, now we're in a position now, it's just like, I only want to work with people that understand us and has good and they have good energy. Like, that's what it is. I want to only work with people that love who we are and love how we create. And that only makes a better product, and that only makes a better story. Because at the end of the day, when you're selling your product, you're selling the story, but you're also selling the main part you create. If you have someone that's partnering with you that understands that, it just makes it easy. You know what I'm saying? Like, I hate when people say it's about the money. You can't finesse the relationship. Like, honestly, you can, but do I have to? No, I don't. I don't have mm-hmm. to. Like, I choose not to. I choose to keep my peace to myself and my team. Right? Because you don't want anybody coming in messing with the culture. Like, my background is HR. So I'm always thinking about the culture of the company, the culture of me and Todd as the co-founders. Because at the end of the day, if the relationship's not strong, then it's harder to grow the business. You have to make sure the relationship is strong. That goes back into the foundation of working with people. And I'm just like, yo, like, we're not about to do that. So for us, trials and tribulations, definitely. But I think that's all a part of God, right? You learn and you live and you learn, and it makes you stronger. And that's how bigger relationships and partnerships come your way, because they see how you're working. They see where we came from. Even though they might not want to say nothing, they see, yo, these guys have been grinding since 2016 and they have not given up, even with people not showing them love. Because honestly, we don't get that much love in Atlanta, for real, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. Be real. I'm just going to keep it 100. I'm going to keep it
100. Yeah.
It is what it is. But one of my mentors always told me, in order to be successful as a brand in Atlanta, you have to go out of Atlanta. That's just what it is.
Any brand, you know what, that can go for anybody, to be honest with you. I hear that all the time. Like, you know, wherever they're at, they're not getting love in that certain demographic. Mm-hmm. But it's so much more outside of sometimes your city. Yeah. So your product is based out of Atlanta, but eyes are around it around the world, because you wouldn't have been featured in GQ British. Like, let's just keep it a buck.
Correct.
Yeah. Get what
correct.
I'm saying?
Exactly.
So it's further sometimes than just, you know, what meets the eyes. And it's unfortunate that you're saying that you're not getting a lot of love in Atlanta, because when we win, when one person wins, we all win. Oh, so I'm really taken back by that.
And when I say that to charge ourselves, I say that to charge the culture, because at the end of the day, like you said, we can only win together, right? And I just keep it 100 at all time. That's just how we want to roll as a business, and that's just how it's going to be.
it's weird that, you know, like Archie was saying, it's weird that when your product, or say if you're an artist or anything like that, and it gets buzzed outside of the city or the state, and then it comes full, and then it comes back. They're like, oh man, I remember when you was this, that, and the third. Like, we've been rocking with you. I mean, yeah, to a certain extent, you know what I'm saying? But when it blew up, that's when it was kind of like, oh yeah, we want to rock with you then. So I'm like, and that goes back to what I was stating earlier, like when about those hurdles, it's like, some people wasn't really rocking with us in the beginning, or really trying to downplay us and kind of like swerving us. So, but then when they see us doing a campaign and about to be in Nordstrom's and stuff like that, then they're like, oh man, well, let's have a conversation. Let's sit down and talk. That's what I'm going to hear more about y'all, a story and everything. And I'm like, why does it take us busting our tail? And let's go. We've been told you that we've been doing the exact same thing, but it took a brand or a certain person aware for you to really understand what we're trying to do. And we don't hold grudges at all. Like Archie said, we don't hold grudges at all. You know what I'm saying? We'll sit down and have the conversation. But now at that time, we can control the narrative. Like, we can decide if we want to really fool with you, or we can just say, nah, we have to pass this time.
Hey guys, what's up? This is your girl in the building, Nyla Lavelle. I'm sorry to have interrupted the podcast, but I want you guys to make sure that you're following us on Instagram and Twitter at Subject Thread. Instagram and Twitter. It helps with the algorithms.
Thank you for the support, for the 100,000 plus streams, and it's ongoing on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Audible, Podchaser, Amazon Music, and more. Please continue on supporting us, independently owned, minority woman owned. I appreciate the support. Make sure to visit us online at subjectthreadpodcast.com.
I got you. Do you think it was also because the narrative of fashion in Atlanta kind of is just now picking up?
I think yes and no. The reason why I say yes and no, because I think Atlanta fashion has definitely grown. But I think, like, to Taj's point, me and Taj are pretty well known in Atlanta, right?
Okay,
so I think that it's just weird, right? And it's okay. And I think at the end of the day, if you want to grow a successful nationwide business, you have to focus on everything outside of your where you're currently based, right? Because at the end of the day, Atlanta can be cloudy at times. When I say cloudy, if the brand is not popping like it should be, when it starts popping, then that's when they jump aboard. That's just how Atlanta is. That is what it is. Mm-hmm. And so I think I'm okay with that, right? It's like, okay, I know once we get to that point where we're in that route, when we launch in Nordstrom and we have all these other opportunities come, it's just going to go full circle. And it's all a part of God's journey. Like, for me, it's just like following the journey, following the purpose, and just continue to work. Like, you can't just pick and choose. Like, you got to do the work.
Yeah, I believe it's all love. Like, Atlanta is one of those cities and states you got to prove yourself here. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, we're not going to just give you no free pass or just mess with you just because you based in Atlanta. Your brand is based in Atlanta. You got to show and prove to us. You know what I'm saying? We look at it like a challenge. You know what I'm saying? We're going to show you that we here. We're going to represent the area, and we're going to show you that we're a brand that need to stay, and we're going to be nationwide. And then I'm like, okay, we got y'all back on this one. I think it's just more of a challenge and more of strong love. That's all.
And speaking of fashion and icons, what are some of your fashion icons outside of Atlanta?
Yeah,
Yay.
All the antics he might have, but when it comes to being creative and just thinking outside of the box, I think he changed a lot when it comes to fashion and the whole culture. Honestly, that's me personally.
And Pharrell, okay. I put Pharrell, Kanye in those pieces. Pharrell, I feel like Pharrell is an icon by itself, even just the way he speaks and the way he just carries himself. And it's just like, I want people to see us I want us to be our own version of those individuals, if that makes sense, right? I want people to be able to look at us and say, man, like, it may be different for us because we come in actually, you know, we come in from a different, and I always want us to be organic to who we are as we grow and as we get more successful. And I think Pharrell is one of them individuals where I feel like he's become more enlightened, right? And I think he's speaking a different truth now. Even when you hear him on his podcast and when he's talking about different things, it's a powerful conversation because now he's speaking how he really feels.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, Pharrell is the first person I seen where I started using that as one of my style palettes in 2013, I believe. Yeah. So.
Oh yeah. When he wore that hat?
The Forrest Bear hat. Yeah, the
Forrest Bear hat.
Yeah. So I was just like, man, I seen that. I was like, I love how he's doing it. My hat won't be that big, but I'm gonna find something around my area that I can use in a fedora, and then that's where I started wearing fedoras. Just off his picture.
He changed the game, though, in terms of fashion and the way that you look at healthcare, like your face. Like, he's just really on one.
The man is really 40, 50, going on 20. You know what I'm saying? I don't know how he's doing it, but it's amazing.
We say that he's on vampire juice all the time.
All the time. That's what he do.
He's not aging
at all. He look younger than his his dad is the same way. I don't know if you ever seen a picture of his father, but they don't age. I don't know what's going on in the bloodstream, but
hey, I hope I had that type of blood. I'm just saying, like, I'm trying to look like that when I'm 50.
Absolutely. So take me through a day, like your process as an entrepreneur with your company. How is that working,
man?
My day is different than Archie, so I'm gonna let him go first.
So my day consists of bothering Taj.
Facts.
No, but
I love it though. I love it. We need it. It's needed.
So I'll wake up, I check my emails, and I normally communicate with the team throughout the morning because Taj is normally at work at his corporate job in the morning. So I'm normally, and I know Taj's schedule, so I try not to bother him like before like 12, when normally I kind of don't listen to that sometimes. So I'll send him a message. anyway.
It's important. Yeah, let me know.
Especially if it's doing like production or like design, I'll send them a message beforehand. But more it's like, so on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays are our meeting days. So on Mondays, I have marketing meeting and sales meeting with Brandon. It's definitely open to the other teammates, but we normally build strategies for the week. And then on Wednesdays is our production design meeting. That's me and Taj. And we normally connect and just kind of go through all any design samples or production issues, things of that nature on that day. And then on a Friday is our financial budget meeting. And that's also just connecting and culture meeting for the team. So normally the full team comes in on that day. And Mondays is shipping day. Wednesdays is exchange and return order. So anybody that's listening, y'all buying stuff, just know we have a set days of when we do things, okay? We are a real company. I think people forget that sometimes when they be talking to us. But no, man, it's a beautiful thing that we're able to wake up and just check our emails and just really figure out how to build a business. That's my main thing for me, is really figuring out how to build a business and really connecting and really diving in deeper. I think this year is going to be a beautiful year for us. We as a brand that's been growing, like, it's crazy. Like, I would consider us slow fashion, and people, and it's crazy that I think about that now, because I never thought about that until like a couple days ago, because I was on Clubhouse and I was talking to this guy. His name is Tokyo James, and he has a brand, and his brand is all about like slow fashion. And when you say slow fashion, it's moving slow space and slow timing, right? And not going by what everybody else sees your brand should be moving. Because at the end of the day, me and Taj want our brand to be 100 years plus, right?
Okay.
In order to do that, you have to be very strategic of how you move, right? And when I say that is, it's about timing and organization, but also understanding what you want to see, right? For example, we may say, hey, we want to scale this year to do 1.5 million. And we may say, hey, the following year, let's just do 3. Because at the end of the day, we can control. Because at the end of the day, like, you want to control your business and how much money you're making. And you can do that by having great strategies and structure in place. And I think that sometimes people scale too quickly and they can't control it. I never want to put ourselves in a position where we can't control it. But if it does come, we're prepared, if that makes sense. So every day is all about being prepared, being more prepared of how to build a stronger business.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Absolutely. So you're basically, you're controlling your narrative to a point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, we want to control it. Like, we want to control like how fast we grow. Like, we want to control every aspect of that because we need to be prepared at all times.
Absolutely. Now, you guys are speaking to a whole broad of audience in terms of telling people that, you know what, we can have a 9-to-5, but we can still go after our dreams. It's sometimes such a misconception to people that work like, hey, I can't do anything else, but you're speaking to that. How are you juggling that?
Yeah, Taj can speak on that.
That's why I said me and Archie's day is a little bit different, because Archie, he was 9-to-5, but he went full-time entrepreneur. And I commend my brother on that, you know what I'm saying? Because at the same time, without him, yo, putting blood, sweat, and tears into this company probably would not be where it's at today. So I tell him that all the time, but sometimes I got to give him the heart, yo, pound, like, bro, let's get it. You know what I'm saying? Because he's on me every single day, because I am 9-to-5 and I am an entrepreneur. But my 9-to-5 is different than a lot of people's 9-to-5. I'm in a position where I can kind of control my 9-to-5 hours. You know what I'm saying? So it's not really necessarily a 9-to-5. I can move how I want to move because I run the IT department. But at the same time, I had to get there. But Archie been holding us down, being patient with me to get to where I need to get to. So now I can kind of put all my effort in that and all my effort in Wear Brims. But without a strong team, it's hard, but it is doable. Some people just got to be dedicated. For the ones that's doing it by themselves or 9-to-5 and trying to build a business, you just got to be dedicated. You're going to sometimes... your hours is, you don't have set hours. You go to work, and then right after work, you got to figure out what your marketing, your structure, you're planning for your business, because no one's going to do it for you. You know, you got to, if you want this to be successful, you got to put that groundwork in. So when you get to a point where you can kind of have that decision, you can sit back and like, do I want to give up this 9-to-5 and just go full-time entrepreneur because my business is booming? Or do I want to, you know, maybe get a remote job real quick and then just, you know, do something on the side while I could focus fully on my business? So you have that opportunity, but it's not hard, but at the same time, it isn't easy. And I know that's hard. I know that's crazy to say, but you just really have to show that passion and dedication, because at the end of the day, if you don't do it, you're going to stay in the same spot. You know what I'm saying? No one's going to come in and say, hey, here's a business already fully created, made out, and here's $1 million. Go ahead and go. Nah, it's not.
Absolutely.
It's never like that. So I know what we do as an individual, we look on IG and we kind of see, oh, this person doing this. See, this person doing that. I need to be doing that. Nah, stay in your lane. Figure out what you want to do. You know what I'm saying? And create that story for yourself. Everybody's story is different. So, you know what I'm saying? When you can go tell people that, man, I built my business from the ground up and working a 9-to-5, that's only makes your story so much better.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So take me through a design day. You guys are in a warehouse or you're in your area designing. What is in your playlist? What are you bouncing to get you through that design?
I'm listening to the vision.
The vision.
I'm listening to The Vision or Say John. That's like my list right now.
Okay.
I'm different. Mine's is a mixture. I'm on Ye heavy. I'm on okay. Ross, and then I'm throwing K Camp in there. I'm on those three.
Ooh, I forgot about K Camp.
Yeah, it's a crazy mixture, but I'm throwing K Camp in there because his influence in music is different. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people don't give him all the credit.
I'm gonna take that one too. I'm gonna take K Camp in mine as well.
Yeah. So we in our office, and then
this is
music on the way to the office. You know, so my mind is getting ready. You know, to get. Start being creative and me thinking. So my blood is flowing, everything, all the creative juices is going. So when we get there, I'm like, Archie, we got to do this color. 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 Archie like, all right, we got to do this color, this color. I don't know about that color you just talked about earlier, but you know what I'm saying? Maybe later on, you know what I'm saying? We could probably look it back into it because our creative juices is different. And then how we, when I go into a creative idea, especially when I go back off the 96 Olympics, just when I seen the design logo for the Olympics, it has the 100, the 100, the line, and then it has the rings, a little bit of rings. But when I look at the 100 and the line, I was like, that looked like an upside down top hat. I said, okay, that looked like an upside down top hat. So instead of a top hat, let's make it a fedora. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, that's like, and it goes into our brand. And then instead of the stars coming out of the hat, we had our logo is our feather, our feather based off of Archie's grandmother that passed away, Miss Rosetta. So I was like, instead of the stars, let's do origami birds. You know what I'm saying? To kind of bring it all back together. So that's when it comes to like being creative like that and picking out different hats, colors to put bands and material. I kind of look at outfits, people's outfits, how people walk around the mall. Different color schemes that people put together online. That's kind of where the idea come out with being like the creative process for me. And then I bring it to Archie and Archie already has a whole nother scheme that he might think of. We just kind of put it together.
So it's a good bounce off, like a seesaw.
Yeah. Cause I might want to go loud. He might want to go low. So it's like, we kind of got to come together. And in some days he want to go loud. I'm like, nah, we got to go low. So it kind of, it's a midpoint we always hit. And it's like, okay, it works.
Okay. I get you. Now, speaking of fashion, each one of you, this is a question for each one of you. What era of fashion do you wish you could have lived in?
I'm going to say the 80s.
Ooh, okay.
I'm going 80s.
My 80s.
And why?
Because I feel like during that time period, I feel like that was the foundation of like blacks in fashion, in my opinion, right? When you think about Run DMC, you think about all them. It's just like, that is the foundation. You could say the 90s, but I was born in the 90s. So it's just like, the 80s for me.
It's the 80s for you? Me, personally?
You don't say
like,
90s?
I feel like I'm living in it now, honestly.
Ooh, okay.
I feel like I'm living in it now because right now it's no boundaries. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people are just doing what they want to do. And with me personally, my personal style, one day I can have a suit on, the next day I can wear my jeans and my sneakers, you know what I'm saying? So I could switch it up in this era because I'm able to kind of pull from the 90s, pull from the 80s and kind of bring it all into one if I want to. But right now, I feel like this era of style and fashion is key because if you walk, especially in Atlanta, because everybody in Atlanta is not from Atlanta. So when you walk to a destination or area, you're going to see different vibes of style walking right past you. So that inspiration is dope to just be around because nobody is the same, to be honest.
Absolutely.
I like that, bro. I like the way you put that.
I like the way you worded that too. And that just goes back to what we said. Atlanta's transit right now. So you'll get a little bit of everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I agree with that.
So what is next for you guys in terms of Brims?
Man, I think the main thing first, the biggest thing right now within this next couple months is Nordstrom's preparing for that release. We have a couple collaborations that will be dropping in the next couple months as well.
Can't just say Nordstrom just like that, Archie. Like get oh, this.
That's what I'm saying.
Get in it. You know what I'm saying? Get into it. You know what I'm saying? Let them know, like, we the first. You know what I'm saying? Like, talk your shit.
No, you got to be humble with it.
No, put your stink on it.
Right. Well, no, I mean, Nordstrom, I think that's a beautiful thing for us, and just really utilizing that to help build more credibility, right? I look at Nordstrom's as amazing platform, amazing company. They are amazing just in general, right? And there's one retailer that is really trying to make an impact within not only with small business, but within the culture, right? And I think that's a powerful thing in itself, especially with everything that happened last year. How are we really going to help build small businesses, right? And us as small business, how we make ourselves better, right? So it's really utilizing these bigger brands or bigger partnerships to really align ourselves and to really get on that level. So that's how I see Nordstrom. So Nordstrom's will be launching in February, man. We'll be the first Black hat company to be positioned in Nordstrom. So we're very, very excited about that opportunity.
I'm excited for you guys.
I'm very, very excited. Very, very excited. So we've worked very hard within these last 4 years. And I'm excited, man. It really hasn't hit me yet or hit us yet. But it's a beautiful thing. And I think using this opportunity to really help ourselves and just build more credibility to really get to the next level in our career and where we want to be at.
Yeah, man.
Awesome.
To add on that, I feel like this year and things building our team, again, a better relationship within our team. So we make sure that we all on the same page, right? Because our team is solid. Team is super solid. You know, we have T.O., we have Brandon, we have Kayla, then we have Caitlin, and we have Tanisha on our side as well. So our team is super solid. So this year is going to be huge for us, you know what I'm saying? Because last year was, even though it was a pandemic, we did well through, which is a blessing. But yeah, I feel even though we're in a pandemic as well still, but at the same time, it's not as crazy as it was in the beginning. So this year is kind of like, all right, all that preparation, all that planning y'all was doing last year and getting things together while things were closed, things are opening up. Let's get it rolling.
Absolutely. Now, can you guys speak to a little bit of those collaborations yet or not yet?
But no, we should give a little bit of taste of the first one. Sorry.
Yeah. Of course.
We are doing a collaboration with Black Menswear, which is a dope platform. In my opinion, they are the amazing Black version of GQ. Please check them out on Instagram.
I'm very familiar with them. Absolutely.
Yeah, so we're doing a collaboration with them. They're releasing very soon. We're working on that right now. So that we're very, very excited about that one. Really. Partnering up with a powerhouse brand that's not only pushing great content, but pushing great content for us. And I think that's a beautiful thing. And being able to be a part of that and be able to create something within that narrative is amazing to me. So for us, man, collaborations is like something that we do uniquely. And we want to be able to be, that's a part of our palette. Like that's something we do good at. And we're excited about that.
Absolutely. Did you want to piggyback off that, Todd? It sound like you wanted to say
another one. You got another one.
I'm just saying, other collaborations we have. We have an inspirational Iman, man, very, very dope individual that's coming out. We already did that sample for that hat, and then we kind of like teased everybody. Everybody was went crazy. They keep asking us now to this day when that hat is coming out. So that you be on the lookout for that one. We have another collaboration that's coming out later on this year with a dope lady. I'm not sure if I can give her name. But please be on the lookout for that later on this year. And if y'all want to go back to this interview, kind of see what I was saying, you'll see later on this year. Dope individual, but that's going to be one of those game changers as well on both sides, awesome. If I can say that.
Absolutely. I like the fact that you have a unit that is unisex. That's yes, really great.
Everything.
Speaking to that. Absolutely. Everything. Now, how do the people find you guys to keep up with you and to shop with you and to follow you?
You can follow us at wearbrims.com. Not we are brims. Wearbrims. WEARBRIMS. You can find us on all platforms, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Of course, our website, www.wearbrims.com. Please check us out as well on there as well. So
our co-founder Archie be on Clubhouse. So if y'all want to talk to him and
chop with me on Clubhouse.
Okay.
That is great. So you just Clubhouse, no IGs?
Oh yeah, IG is
We're brand.
Oh, okay. I thought you just meant club, because some people are not with the Clubhouse yet.
I'm not either. That's why I said Archie, one of our co-founders, is in it. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm not in it yet. I think it's a dope platform, but I just haven't got a chance to really deep dive into it. Yeah, IG, find us on IG at WebRims. You find us on Twitter at Brims, Facebook, Brims, WebRims.
So, okay, cool. WebRims.
Yeah, all platforms, WebRims.
I'm glad you clarified that, because I can see how people would say we are Brims. I can see that.
I'd be in the club. Before the pandemic, I was in the club before. They was like, we are Brims in the building. I was like, who? I appreciate the love, but dang, give us a name right.
This has been great, guys. And this is Naila Lavelle for Subject Thread Podcast, and we are out.